This is Aging by the Bay, here to provide families in the San Francisco Bay Area pertinent information about healthy aging practices and services. Your hosts are Michael Medeiros and Tom DeZeo of Comfort Care Home Care.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Aging by the Bay, where we talk about the joys and some of the challenges of growing older in the Bay Area. We talk to local experts, regional experts, and national experts about what they see happening as people age, as well as the services that are available here that you or your loved ones may or may not be aware of. We're your hosts for Aging by the Bay. I'm Mike Medeiros, along with Tom DeZeo. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Mike. Did you finish all your Christmas shopping?
You know how the holiday season is goes. We have a couple more days left, so I have officially started tomorrow.
There you go.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, good
Always luck. Last-minute stuff just for the holiday season. It's in want to tell our listeners out there, happy holidays to everyone.
Absolutely.
Okay, but first we need to thank our show sponsor. That's Comfort Care Home Care. They are the ones who make this show possible. Comfort Care provides the care you need in the best place of all, your home. Comfort Care, you can call them at 877-430-4942 or visit their website at comfortcare.com. That's comfortcare.com. To find out how one of their caregivers can assist you and your loved one to live safely and independently at home. Comfort Care is truly helping you live your best life possible. Tom?
Yes, Mike. So it gives me great pleasure to introduce one of our former guests here, Dr. Michelle Petacolis. She's a PhD, and her focus is grief coaching, grief and loss coaching. Welcome, Michelle.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for inviting me back again. I'm really enjoy having these conversations with you.
Absolutely. So there's a lot to cover, and we have two topics today. The first topic is going to be handling the holidays. That could be challenging for many folks, including seniors. And then from there, we're going to move on to the follow-up of death and dying, the psychosocial aspect of that following Dr. Duncan's shows the last two go-rounds. So I think it's going to be interesting. But let's start off, Michelle, with the holiday season right here, right in front of us here. What are some of the challenges that folks encounter with the holidays right up in front of them?
Well, the main challenge is it seems like it puts a lot more responsibilities and duties and activities on an already busy plate. If you're involved with caring for somebody who's dying, for example, you're already overloaded. But even if you're not, I don't know, life these days has gotten more and more hectic between the computer and the email and all the ways in which we are bombarded with information. It's overwhelming to the system, to the body.
So it's a stress factor?
It is a stress factor. Although, having said that, I need to also say that the way in which we deal with that stress is the determinant in terms of whether we are stressed or overwhelmed. We have a habit of responding to these situations, thinking that if we work faster and harder, that somehow we're going to catch up.
Right.
But that's a mistake. Because the more we run faster, the faster things run. If we learn to slow down, to take pauses, the world actually slows down with us.
You know, it's funny that you mention that because my attitude is exactly that for this season. I've basically slowed the pace down and said, I'm not going to let it dictate to me like I used to have it dictate and rush and go out and shop and wrap presents and be all geared up for making dinners and things like that. I just said, whatever evolves is going to evolve. It's out of my control. But here's the question I have for you, Michelle. When we think in terms of care management and we think in terms of seniors, where is most of the pressure of the holidays? Does it affect the senior or does it really affect the caregiver who's caring for the senior?
Well, it affects both of them, mm-hmm. Of course. The senior, in terms of capacity mm-hmm. and whether or not they can show up, Christmas or holidays have a lot of traditions with them.
Right.
It brings back a lot of memories and also the awareness of loss. Because seniors or aging is all about successive losses or loss of capacity, maybe loss of the home that you used to have, loss of meaning, loss of value in this world in the way in which our culture defines value, which
right.
is, you know, that you're a productive citizen. And so when Christmas comes around, it's a time of family gathering, and it's a time of tradition, and it's a time of reflection.
I was just going to use that word, reflection. Is it a reflection of past Christmases and past holidays that is conjured up in the senior?
Well, absolutely. It's conjured up in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I believe that all of us go into the holidays with certain memories, some of them positive. And sometimes they're so positive that this particular Christmas can't possibly live up to it, or they're negative, and so you go in with a certain amount of tension and apprehension about what might happen depending on what your experience is. Either way, it can create stress.
Right. But what if we looked at, to use your phrase, the glass is half full?
Yes.
Okay. And what happens if we look at the upcoming holiday is this is really going to be interesting. Maybe it's going to be a little bit different. Maybe it's going to be better.
That is a perfect way to approach it. What that involves is not dwelling in the past. That involves taking each moment as it comes and being curious and being open and noticing. So it's also focus. What do you focus on? What do you notice? Do you focus on the things that go wrong, or do you focus on the things that go right?
Okay. So I guess that now my next question would be, where do we apply this strategy? Can we apply it to the senior and motivate them to be positive, or are we probably better off trying to motivate the caregiver?
We want to motivate both of them.
Okay.
But we always want to start with the caregiver.
Right.
Because the caregiver is the one who's going to communicate that to the senior.
Okay.
So if the caregiver is relaxed, peaceful, in the moment, flowing, they're going to convey that to the senior. They're going to literally move them into that energy vibration.
Can you teach an old dog new tricks?
The latest research on the brain is that it's neuroplastic, and that doesn't change right up until the end.
Okay, so you can get through to the senior, and you can get them in a positive mode, because quite frankly, I mean, you know, when you have relatives and you're in it, you're living it, sometimes it's hard to get somebody who's negative and has had a tough time in their life to kind of see the positive.
That's true. So what I recommend people utilize are sensory stimulus, music, scent,
right.
Essential oils, or something that evokes positive experiences, positive memories,
right,
that soothe the body. Some of the reasons why seniors might be negative or grouchy is partly it's a habit,
right,
and partly that they're operating from a place of fear. So what you want to do with that senior is help reassure them and make them feel safe.
Right, but going back to that term that we focused on, reflection, if you're playing I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, that's going to conjure up a reflective moment that could be negative.
Well, we hope that our caregivers have some knowledge about the biography of the person they're taking care of.
Uh-huh.
And they want to utilize things, their memory of positive experiences, and try that out.
Right.
I personally find that no matter how grouchy the person is, that physical contact, touching,
right,
is very soothing, unless
mm-hmm.
they've really been abused, in which
sure.
case that, you know, physically
right.
damaged in some way.
Right. So let's switch gears a little bit, and let's talk about the folks who are facing the holidays, you know, missing a loved one who's maybe passed on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what do we do in that circumstance where there's a void here?
Yes.
That is, it gets conjured up during the holiday, more so probably than most.
I always recommend that you identify the elephant in the room, that you bring the person who's lost into the holiday experience. Maybe you set a place for them, or at least you acknowledge that they're gone, and maybe you talk about, you tell or share some stories about them so that it's not like you pretend that they never existed. I mean, I think that's the most horrific thing of all, is to pretend that that person is, you know, ceased to exist.
Right.
And for somebody who is, you know, the primary griever,
right,
they need that reassurance. They mm-hmm. need support of their community that it's okay to talk about their loss, to allow the emotions and the grief. So that's the number two. Number one is bring the elephant into the room. You don't have to put it on the table. You don't have to put it under the table, but sit that situation at the table, acknowledge it. But two, allow the feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're all afraid of upsetting each other or upsetting our loved ones. So we don't talk about the elephant because we're afraid that we're going to upset them or going to start crying. And we feel responsible. But actually, crying is very healing.
Right.
In fact, it'd be great if everybody cried together or, you know, aloud. Because in the tears, not only does that release the emotions, but the heart opens up. Everything
right.
opens up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the normal situations where grandma is going to her daughter's house with young kids and everything else, are people really going to focus on the loss, or are they going to focus on the kids and Christmas and presents and those kinds of things?
Of course they're going to do that. And a savvy caregiver or daughter or daughter-in-law will also make room for grandma's loss of her husband.
Okay.
That maybe at the dinner table something said, maybe in the blessing or the grace, you mention the person
that's
who's lost.
Idea.
And maybe you invite conversation about that. Like how many of you remember, do any of you remember a good story about grandpa,
right.
especially around the Christmas time,
right.
or you share stories,
uh-huh.
or you invite grandma to share her stories.
Right.
What was your first Christmas like with grandpa?
Sure. That makes a lot of sense, actually, you know, to do it in that light, to kind of position it as, you know, tell us about an interesting story about grandpa. That makes a lot of sense. So now it's out on the table.
Now it's out on the table.
And you could have a good discussion, fond memories, that kind of thing.
And literally bring that being into that Christmas holiday. Because
right.
the memory makes that person alive, not only for the person who lost them, but for everybody else in the room.
Sure. Well, that sounds like a great remedy. So what else are we dealing with here, you know, with grief and loss around the holidays? What are some of the other challenges that you see?
Well, some of the other challenges for some seniors is that they have lost all of their constellation.
Okay.
That the family unit has really reduced.
Right.
And so the old ways, the old traditions are not going to work anymore. So you think about creating new traditions.
Okay.
It might be too triggering, say, in the first holiday to repeat the old patterns, so do something totally different. Go to a movie,
right.
take a trip to Florida, whatever
right.
you can manage that is a whole different, create new ritual.
Sure. What about the senior who's in a community now? And just as you mentioned, lost
yes.
you know, most of the family, and now they're in a community pretty much by themselves.
The same advice applies. Create new ritual. Create new family members. We think of the family as being blood, but actually our families can be much, much more extended than that. As one of the things I teach or coach my grief clients about is making sure that you have a community that supports you. And that means creating new relationships and then taking those relationships even deeper. Sometimes the senior doesn't have those skills and they need to learn those skills. So maybe the people who are in the facility with the seniors, they can help to bridge that, have activities that help to create that sense of community, have rituals that create that sense of community. What can the senior do themselves? Reach out to whoever they know and reach out to more people.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to start doing this, however, during the holidays. You want to, when you've had those losses,
right.
that's one of your, after you get over the initial shock,
right.
you want to look at who's your community now.
Right.
One of the biggest problems with our society is that we have a tendency to get married and have that family, and that becomes the unit by itself. back in earlier days, we lived in a community.
Right, right. Yeah, well, it was extended family, too, back then.
And extended family, right. And they lived in the same area. We didn't travel. We didn't move across the country.
Right. No, there's definitely major changing dynamics in place. And, you know, I can see this. Mike, you could see it when we go into communities where a lot of people are just lost. And you feel sorry for those folks. And especially as the holidays approach, you often wonder, how are they going to adapt and work through the holiday? It seems like a huge challenge. Do you see that these communities are positioned to implement some of the things that you're talking about?
You mean the assisted living facilities?
Yes.
Well, in the Bay Area, based on what I've talked to various people who've worked at those facilities, is they are really stepping up.
Okay.
It's really impressive, the kind of awareness that's here. But fortunately, we're in the Bay Area. We're in the Golden Gate area,
right,
where
right.
we're kind of cutting edge.
Yeah, yeah. That's really interesting. So let's go back to the caregiver a second now. And what, in your estimation, you know, caregivers are sometimes faced with their own trauma.
Yes.
And so that is impacting probably at the same point around the holiday.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Yes.
So how does one navigate, you know, you have the caregiver who's facing some challenges, and then you have the senior who's facing another dynamic.
Yes, it's a really volatile mix,
right,
isn't it?
Right, yeah. Absolutely.
So
it's a double whammy.
We always have to start with the caregiver. It's just kind of like the same idea of the parent and the child. The caregiver is the parent in this situation. They have to take responsibility for themselves first.
Okay.
That's number one. They have to make sure that they are getting time out, time off, taking care of their body, eating right, sleeping right. That's first order of business, and then allowing themselves time to release their emotions. Because they're going through loss watching their aging parents or aging loved ones or lose their capacity. That's
sure.
That's a trauma.
Right, right.
And they need to acknowledge that. But so many caregivers believe, oh, I'm not the one who's the problem, the person I'm caring for is the problem, and I have to give all my attention to them.
Right.
And there's almost this, well, I was brought up a Catholic, so the martyr syndrome.
Yes, I'm familiar with that.
But there's also the survivor syndrome, which is that somehow if I suffer, I'm going to relieve them of some of their suffering.
Okay.
It's a weird, but right. I went through that because right. I had a friend who was dying, and the more I was discomforted, the more I felt like I was giving to her.
Unloading the burden?
Unloading the burden. It's totally an illusion. It
right.
has no impact on her whatsoever. What was more important was my love.
Okay.
Was that I was there and I loved her. And if I was suffering, how could I be there for her?
Right, right. That's true. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Folks, we're here today with Dr. Michelle Petacola. She's a PhD, and her focus is grief and loss coaching. And we're having a discussion about facing the holidays, and sometimes that could be extremely challenging for both caregivers and seniors. We're focused right now on caregivers. And Michelle, elaborate a little bit further. Is there steps? Is there specific steps? I know you just outlined some of those steps, but can the caregiver do that in a timely fashion? I mean, I would assume that you have to do that kind of before the holidays start, right?
Well, you want to do it all the time.
Okay.
You know, as soon as you are in that caregiver role, you always have to remember the whole adage about when you're flying the airplane, you always take the oxygen before you give it to somebody else.
Right.
That is so important. And the caregiver has to remember that if they don't take care of themselves and they fall sick.
Yeah.
Then who's going to take care of that person?
We face that right now in this holiday season, you know, from a home care perspective.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you have to take care of yourself. My next tip, and this is maybe a little bit harder to get your mind wrapped around, but it is so key, is when you are a caregiver, why? What is your why? What is your mission? And what is it bringing to you? So many people get into the caregiver role because it's expected of them.
Right.
they're the logical choice.
Right.
They have the skills.
Right.
That's not a good reason. That's
no.
not going to take you through the difficult times.
Right.
You have to really sit down with yourself and say, why am I doing this?
No question about it. I mean, you know, again, this is a challenge that Mike and I see often on the home care front. And at the end of the day, the defining moment is the compassion gene.
Yes.
And when the compassion gene is seen.
Yes.
And the gratification that occurs when someone has a victory with taking care of somebody.
Yes.
That's the real definition.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Once you realize, and there are gifts in that caregiver model. Huge. But if you're so busy being responsible and taking care and being the martyr, you miss out on those gifts and
right.
you end up with resentment. And
right.
eventually that resentment is going to play into the way in which you operate around the person you're caring for.
Right. Now, would you say that Christmas and New Year's is probably the most difficult of the holidays to deal with?
I think it is generally, but it depends on the person. There might be other holidays that are more significant depending on your cultural background, or, you know, if it's around grief and loss, it might be an anniversary.
Sure.
You know, it could
right.
be something else that's much more difficult.
Right, right. How do seniors and caregivers alike, how do they respond to coaching around this issue? Are they open to it? Or are they closed off to it? Or what do you normally find in your practice?
Well, I attract the people who are open to it. But of course, there are people who are closed. You know, you get somebody who's 90 years old and they're pretty stuck in their ways. I always start, though, with love.
Okay.
And I don't think there's any human out there it's in our genetic makeup. It's
right.
in our biology that we crave acknowledgement and love.
Right, right.
Now, some people have conflict over that. You know, if they've been really damaged in a
sure.
way so that love is associated with pain,
right.
then they need help.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that I'm the person that they may need more help than I can give them.
Right. Okay. Good. Well, folks, I'd like to thank Michelle today for coming on and having this discussion about, you know, dealing with the holidays and dealing with loss and that kind of thing. Michelle, we appreciate your focus today and some of the pointers. Those pearls of wisdom are absolutely important for both the caregiver and the senior person. So thanks for coming on today, and we appreciate it.
You're very welcome, and thank you for the opportunity to share my ideas.
Very good. You have a great holiday yourself.
You as well.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us on Aging by the Bay today. Thank you to our guest, Dr. Michelle Pentecolas, for joining us today and helping our listeners age better. You can always visit her website at www.secretsoflifeanddeath.com. If you enjoy this show and are getting something out of it, we would really appreciate for you to subscribe to our podcast and leave a review. We are wherever you listen to podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, you name it. Or you can listen to this episode or past episodes at agingbythebay.com/shows. A big thank you to our sponsor, Comfort Care Home Care. If you want to be a featured guest or if you have questions for our guests, reach out to us at info@agingbythebay.com. Until next week, everyone, have a great holiday weekend and goodbye.
This has been Aging by the Bay with Michael Menderos and Tom DeZeo, addressing issues on aging and services for the elderly community. Join us again next week for Aging by the Bay.